Yeah. It's Mother's Day today. What we're going to do this morning, I looked at the 250 or so times in the Bible that the word mother shows up. And what we want to do this morning is think about, in what does the Bible say about how I should treat my mother? And why? Now, for some of you that are here today, your mother is no longer alive. And the Lord knows that. He understands what a loss it is for you. The psalmist in Psalm 35:14 was in great sorrow. And as he searched around for words to describe the level of hurt that he was feeling, this is the words that he came up with. Psalm 35:14, as one who laments his mother, I bow down in mourning. So those of you who have mothers that have gone on before you, today is a good day to look back and remember your mom, whether she was wonderful or not even always, and just take a moment and give God thanks for her. And for those of you whose moms are in heaven, you should thank God for the glorious reunion that he has coming for you. But for those of us whose moms are still here, we want to survey the whole Bible this morning and answer these questions. How does God want you to treat your mother? And why? And the Bible is full of commands about this, and we should note that most of these aren't just for children. There's at least one that's especially for kids, but most of these things apply to adults just as much as they do to young children, if my mother is here for me to relate to. So we'll start off with the commands. Your responsibilities. How does God want you to treat your mother? Number one, honor her. Honor her. Turn in your Bibles to Exodus 20. Exodus is the second book of the Bible, so you're Genesis, Exodus. We're going to Exodus chapter 20, and here we find the Ten Commandments that God gave to his people Israel. These Ten Commandments, it starts off with four commands about how we are to relate to God, and then there are six commands about how we're to relate to other people, and this is the first of the commands that relate to dealing with others. Exodus 20, look there at verse 12. It says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord is giving you. This command to honor your mother is repeated multiple times in the New Testament. For all of us whose mother is still living, this is a basic part of how we please God in this life. The Hebrew word there for honor, honor your father and mother. That Hebrew word honor, it has a basic meaning of being heavy or weighty. So when it's used of people, it means that we treat them as if they have significant, weighty importance and status in our lives. This word honor is sometimes used to describe how we are to honor God himself. It's even translated glorify in some passages. So look here, Psalm 86:12. This is our word honor. Psalm 86:12, I will give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify, I will honor your name forever. So if we're to honor our mother, it means we're to treat her as if she is someone important, someone significant, someone always worthy of respect. It ought to be that if you're somewhere in a room with your mom and people don't know that you're related, that they see, well, that lady is special to him. That lady's special to her by the way that she's treated. This is a significant person. Honor your mother. Command number two, how does God want you to treat your mother? Honor her and then revere her. Revere her. This comes from Leviticus 19:3. It says, every one of you shall revere his mother and his father. I am the Lord your God. To revere someone is to fear them, to stand in awe of them. Revere is the verb form of the noun that's used in Proverbs 9, where it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Revere her. The idea is when your mother speaks, when she calls you or asks you to do something, there ought to be a little bit of trembling in your heart. This is no ordinary person that's asking for something. It's your mother. You say, well, why would I tremble when my mom talks or when I'm with her? Because she's intimidating? No. It's because God is watching how you treat this woman. That's the idea of this verse, right? Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father. I am the Lord your God. When my kids were little, one of the first things we taught them, God wants you to obey mom and dad. God wants you to honor your mother, honor your father. And it was something that was that daddy took very seriously, that mom be honored, right? And so when daddy was in the room, it was a very rare thing in our house for anyone to say no to mommy or to stick out their tongue at mommy or anything like that because daddy's here and everybody knows that this is a very protected thing. Mommy deserves honor. And the idea here is that the Lord is always in the room and he's watching how you treat your mother. He wants you to revere her, to honor her. How does God want you to treat your mother, honor her, revere her? Number three, if she has physical or financial needs, take care of her. If she has any physical or financial needs, take care of her. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 15. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. We're going to Matthew chapter 15. And Jesus here is going to rebuke the Pharisees because the religious leaders of his time are giving wrong teaching. They're downplaying the honor that adults are to be giving to their mothers and fathers. Matthew 15, look at verse 3. This is Jesus rebuking the Pharisees. 15:3. He answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and mother,' and 'Whoever reviles father or mother must surely die.' But you say, 'If anyone tells his father or mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father.' So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God, you hypocrites." Here's what was going on. According to the Jewish law, you could pledge your possessions to the temple to be paid upon your death. So it's kind of like I'm giving my inheritance to the temple. And it's the things you own. So when I die, this is, and there was a word for it, Corban. So this possession of mine is Corban, and that means that when I die, it's going to go to the temple. That's a good thing. It's like putting the temple in your will. But here's how this tradition got twisted around. Let's say a man's parents were getting older and they couldn't work or earn money for themselves. Honor your parents means that you support them with your own wealth. It's God's will for children to care for their aging parents. But some Israelites were saying, "Mom, Dad, I'd love to help you out. I see you've got some needs, but you know, this yacht of mine and my jet ski and my extra house," I'm modernizing it a bit. "These things are Corban. I've promised them to the Lord, and so I can't get rid of any of this stuff to help you. It's for the Lord. I'm sorry, Mom and Dad, you're kind of on your own." And Jesus rebukes them and says, "No, listen, if you want to know what God wants you to do, he wants you to take care of your parents. Don't worry about the temple." So if your mom, your dad has any physical or financial needs, heading into the time when they pass away, you as a child are responsible to care for them. Jesus not only taught this, but he modeled it. There's a beautiful story that we find in John about what happened when Jesus was hanging on the cross and how he related to his mom there. Now, Jesus on the cross is the center of the whole message of the Bible, right? Jesus has come. The reason he's here is because we're separated from him because of our sins, and I can't be right with God. I've blown it. And Jesus came to die in my place, to take my punishment, and then to offer forgiveness for sins. That's the message of the Bible. Jesus offers you forgiveness, and he earned it for you by dying for you, right? But in the middle of this story, while Jesus is hanging on the cross, while he is enduring the Father's wrath because of my sins, there's only seven things we know that he said, and one of the things is this. We'll jump into the story, John 19, 25. "But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold, your mother.' And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home." And Jesus had brothers. But somehow, Jesus knew that Mary needed more than his brothers would provide for Mary. And so, in the midst of his own suffering, while the Father's turned his face away and he's dying for us, he stops and he gathers the physical strength to be able to make sure his mom's well cared for. And here's this disciple that he loves And he says, Mary, here's your son. She's going to take over. He's going to take over for me. He thought of his mother. How does God want you to treat your mother? Honor her, revere her, take care of her. Fourthly, bless her. God wants you to bless your mother. For this, turn to Proverbs in your Bible. We're going back to Proverbs. If you go to the middle of your Bible, you get Psalms. Proverbs is just to the right of that. So we're going to Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11. Proverbs 30, 11. Look there, Proverbs 30, 11. It says, there are those who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers. Proverbs says there are people out there who do not bless their mothers. But for context, we need to keep reading. So verse 11, there are those who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers. There are those who are clean in their own eyes but are not washed of their filth. There are those, how lofty are their eyes, how high their eyelids lift. There are those whose teeth are swords, whose fangs are knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, the needy from among mankind. You're not one of those people, are you? One of those detestable people who do not bless their mothers. This word bless, it's a Hebrew verb, and the noun that goes with the verb, a lot of times in Hebrew, there's a verb form of the noun. So the noun that goes with the verb bless is the word knee. The idea is to bless someone is to kneel and speak kind words to them. This basic idea of the word blessing, and we find in Scripture that people kneel before God and bless him with their mouths. People also, it's not always kneeling with it. Sometimes the Lord blesses his people, or some of God's people bless other people and gratitude for them. Proverbs 30:11 says it should be assumed and automatic that all decent people are using their mouths to bless their mothers. So your mom ought to be used to you saying nice things to her. Your mom should hear you saying things like, thank you, I love you, I appreciate you. There are those who do not bless their mothers, but let none of us be among them. How does God want you to treat your mother? He wants you to bless her, even with your words. Number five, if you are a child, obey her. How does God want you to treat your mother? If you are a child, you are to obey her. Kids in the room, teenagers that are here, if you're still living at home with your mom, God wants you to obey her. Every time she asks you to do something, God wants you to right away with a good attitude say, yes, mom, and go and do it. And this lasts all the way up through, all the way up through high school. And sometimes it gets harder when you get older, but this is what God asks. He wants you to obey your mom. Look, we read Ephesians 6. This is what Steve read for us. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then it quotes the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So until you're an adult living on your own, God wants you to obey your mom. And then even when you are an adult and you don't have to obey her anymore, you still need to honor her. You want to see in Scripture how serious God is about this? All you have to do is look at the Old Testament law. So in the Old Testament, right, God had rules, laws for the people of the land. And here's what he said in his law, what God set up for someone who wouldn't obey their mom and their dad. Look, Deuteronomy 21:18. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city at the gate of the place where he lives, and they shall say to the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Now, that's not the law anymore, but it does show us how serious God is when he says, obey your mom and your dad. Now, it's not just obey them or God will punish you. Also, there's a promise that goes with it in this verse, right? Children, obey your parents, honor your father and your mother. And then there's this promise at the end, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. It doesn't work this way every time. But kids, what this is saying is that if you obey your mom, you're going to tend to live longer and have a better life. Like God says, obey your mom if you're going to live longer and have a better life. And he's going to back this up. So how does God want you to treat your mother if you are a child? Obey her. Okay, number six. How does God want you to treat your mother? Number six, bring her joy by the way you live. Bring her joy by the way that you live. Proverbs 23:25 says, let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. It's good to make your parents proud. Now, we should all live for God first. Don't live your life to please your parents. You want to live for God first. But if God sees you making your mom smile, then most likely God's smiling too. Bring her joy by the way that you live. How's God want you to treat your mother? Number seven. Never forsake her teaching. Never forsake her teaching. Look at this verse from Proverbs 6. My son, keep your father's commandments and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you. This is even as an adult. The Lord says, as an adult, if you can remember the things your mom used to teach you, right? Are there things, is her voice echoing in your head? Then listen to those teachings. Don't ever let go of them. And the things your mother taught you when you were young, those things will guide you. And as you lay down at night, the things your mother taught you will protect you while you sleep so that when you get up in the morning, you can listen some more to what she taught you when you were young. If you hear your mom's voice in the back of your head reminding you to do something or not do something, it's best not to ignore her. Listen to that voice and you'll tend to do well. How does God want you to treat your mother? Never forsake her teaching. Number eight, never harm her in any way. Never harm your mother in any way. Look at these commands from the Old Testament. Whoever strikes his father or his mother shall be put to death. Whoever curses his father or his mother shall be put to death. Or Proverbs 28:24, whoever robs his father or his mother and says, that is no transgression, is a companion to a man who destroys. See, it's possible for us to take our parents for granted. Right? Maybe somebody just kind of takes their parents for granted and they take some of their parents' stuff and they say, well, it's going to be mine eventually. It's all in the family. And the Lord says, no. No, you need to honor your father and mother and be careful that you don't ever hurt them in any way. Don't take your mom for granted. So the Lord has a very high standard for how we're to treat our mothers. I want to quickly look here at some balancing truths because it's possible that your mom is not a godly person, right? Not all of us have mothers where the teaching that they gave us comes from God's word. So what about them? Now, what we see in Scripture is that even ungodly mothers deserve honor. But, number one, never follow your mother away from the Lord. Never follow your mother away from the Lord. If it comes to a choice between following the Lord or following your mother, then you should choose the Lord every time. Look here at Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. These are the words of Jesus. He says, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. No one is to come first in your life before your God, not even your mother. And it may be that there will be times in your life where your mom will tempt you to sin or your mom will advise you, don't trust in the Lord. If that happens, don't listen to her. Do not be like Ahaziah, king of Judah. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor in doing wickedly. Don't be like Herodias' daughter in Matthew chapter 14, verse 8. Remember this story? Herodias' daughter dances for her dad, and he's so impressed that he says, ask for whatever you want, and I will give it to you. And so Herodias' daughter goes to her mother. She says, Mom, what should I ask for? her wicked mother gives her wicked advice. Ends up like this. Matthew 14:8, prompted by her mother, she said, "Give me the head of John the Baptist here on a platter." Just because she's your mother does not mean she's always going to give you godly advice. So what do you do then if your mom gives you advice and it goes against what the Lord would want? Well, you could follow King Asa's example in 2 Chronicles 15. King Asa was having a reform in the land of Judah, and he was saying, listen, we're only going to worship the one true God, no other idols. So throughout the land, he was having all the idols destroyed. And in the midst of this, he finds out that his own mother had an idol that she had built to be worshipped. What's Asa going to do? 2 Chronicles 15:16, here was Asa's response. Even Micah, his mother, King Asa removed from being queen mother, so he fires her from her position. Because she had made a detestable image for Asherah, Asa cut down her image, crushed it, and burned it at the brook Kidron. Never follow your mother away from the Lord. There's another balancing truth we'll highlight quickly. It's number 2 on your sheets. If you do not have a godly mother, look around the church. There may be a godly older woman who can fill that void for you. Turn with me over in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12. Going to Matthew again, first book in the New Testament. There's a time in Matthew 12 here, it's in Jesus' life, when Jesus' mother Mary is actually resisting Jesus' plan. He has a ministry plan and she doesn't think he's doing this the right way. And so Mary, with Jesus' brothers, come to kind of interrupt Jesus' ministry and to steer him in a different direction. They think he's lost his mind. This is not a good strategy he's following. And here we find what Jesus says when Mary comes with the brothers. Matthew 12, look at verse 46. While Jesus was still speaking to the people, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside asking to speak with him. But he replied to the man who told him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand towards his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." What Jesus is saying is that for those of us who know him, when I come into Christ, not only do I get him, but I get a new spiritual family. And a lot of times in Christ, this spiritual family that I have, it is a deeper and more significant connection than even what I have with my own real mother and father and family. Look what Paul says about one woman in Romans 16:13. He says, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well." If you don't have a godly mother, maybe this is a grief to you. The mom that God has given to you, you are to honor, but you can't really look to her for guidance as how to live a Christian life because she isn't following Christ herself. If that's you, look around the church. Is there a godly older lady that you could go to and say, "You know what, my mom doesn't love the Lord, and I'd like to have somebody to kind of teach me. Will you disciple me and show me kind of the way to go?" I'll bet that godly lady is going to say, "Yeah, I'll do that." Okay, how God wants you to treat your mother. Well, we saw, if I'm going to just summarize it, God wants you to honor her. Okay, now go to the back side of the sheet, your handout there if you're keeping notes. We want to look at why. Why is it that God wants you to honor your mother? Okay, the basics are this. Number one, honoring your mother is right in the sight of God, and it pleases him. We've already seen that, right? Honoring your mother is right in the sight of God, and it pleases him. Number two, why else should you honor your mother? Number two is, she brought you into existence, carrying you in her womb and going through labor with you. Proverbs 23:25 says, "Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice." Some people do not have ideal mothers, but every mother did at least this for her children. Every mother bore them through their pregnancy. Every mother went through labor for them. And the Lord says to us, all of us people who are alive, he says, that woman who bore you and brought you into the world, she deserves honor for the rest of your life because of what she's done for you. Just that basic thing, she brought you into existence. So why should you honor your mother? That's enough. It's right in God's eyes, and she brought you into existence, and that's something to be grateful for. But many of us have bonus reasons for honoring our mothers. Many of us have a lot more that our mother has done for us than those basic things. I want you to take your Bibles and turn over to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. In this, the last chapter of Proverbs, there's a woman of excellence who cared well for the needs of her family. And at the end of the chapter, her children and her husband highlight the fact that she has done really well. And in addition to the fact that she's their mother and deserves honor for that, she has just given her life for them. And so she deserves extra honor. Look, Proverbs 31, here's how her husband and her children respond to this great woman of faith. Proverbs 31, 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. So all mothers are worthy of thanks and honor. But if your mother has done extra things, then you ought especially to show her honor. So as I surveyed the scriptures about mothers this week, I found a list of things that many mothers do. What I want to do is just walk through the list and just ask, has your mother done this for you? And if she's done this for you, it adds another reason for you to honor her, for you to give her thanks. Okay, so we'll just walk through them. Bonus reasons for honoring your mother. Number one, has she prepared delicious food for you? Has she prepared delicious food for you? We find in Genesis 27 that Rebecca did this for her husband and her children. Look here, Genesis 27, 14. So he went and took them and brought them to his mother. And his mother prepared delicious food, such as his father loved. The excellent wife of Proverbs 31 did the same thing. Look there in verse 15. Proverbs 31, 15. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. If your mother has prepared delicious food for her, for you, you should honor her for it. Number two, has she clothed you? Has she clothed you? Okay, 1 Samuel 2 has this fun little detail in it I noticed this week, and it's just precious to me. So there's a woman, Hannah. She's barren. She can't have children. She's praying that God would make her not barren and enable her to have a child. And God miraculously steps in and enables her to bear a child. She bears him. His name is Samuel. And so Hannah and her husband, they devote Samuel to the Lord. And for them, this means they take him to live in the temple in Jerusalem. And they live far away. So now little Samuel is growing up in the temple, and Hannah only gets to see her son once a year or so. And so there's something precious that she does. She wants to show him love when she sees him. Look here. It's 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 19. And his mother, Hannah, used to make for him a little robe and take it to him every year when she went up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. So she just did what she could. She showed him love by making him clothes. I just think it's beautiful. As your mom showing you love by helping you pick out clothes, by making clothes for you, you should honor her for that. Number three, has she provided you with a sense of home? Has she given you a sense of home? Titus 2:4 says that older women are to teach the younger women how to be working at home. Barzillai in 2 Samuel 19:37 says that he just wants to be buried where his mother and father are buried, because it feels like home to him. Proverbs 31, this excellent woman here, we read over and over again about the things that she does for her household, for her home and the people that live there. For example, look at Proverbs 31, 27. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. For many of us, there's a sense that wherever mom is, that's home. I can go there and I can know that I'm welcome and known and loved and accepted, and she's worked really hard to have that be. If your mother has done that for you, then she deserves honor for it. Number four, should honor your mom. Bonus reasons. Number four, is she fiercely, permanently loyal to you? Is she fiercely, permanently loyal to you? There's a burden that many moms carry. It's a burden of love. They just cannot stop thinking about their kids, ever. Luke 2:51 describes Mary with Jesus, but I don't think it's just Mary. I think a lot of moms would relate to this. Look, Luke 2:51, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them, and his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. Isn't that true of a lot of moms? They treasure up the memories of their kids. Sometimes this brings heaviness. Here's the thing with moms. They still care about you even when you're foolish, right? Look here at Proverbs 10:1. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. Obviously, your mom would rather see you make wise choices because she cares about you. But even when you're foolish, she loves you, and so she grieves. There is with many mothers an irrevocable compassion where mom just cannot forget. Isaiah 49, the Lord is looking for an example of this kind of loyalty, this fierce loyalty. And the example that comes to his mind is moms. Isaiah 49:15, can a woman forget her nursing child that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. I love this here. The Lord says to us, if we're his children, if you've trusted in Christ as your Savior, he says, you know how much moms are loyal to their kids. I'm loyal to you like that, and even more. What a thing. But when he's coming up with an example of fierce loyalty that doesn't end, the highest example the Lord comes up with is a mom with her child. So is your mom fiercely, permanently loyal to you? Has she worried about you and rejoiced for you and lived as if your happiness was hers? If so, you should honor her for that. Number five, fifth bonus reason to honor your mom. Has she comforted you in hard times? Has she comforted you in hard times? Again, when the Lord in Scripture is looking for an illustration of gentle comfort for people that are hurting, the illustration that often comes up, that the Lord uses, is that of a mother with her child. For example, Isaiah 66:13, the Lord says, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. We just know, if I need comfort, I need mom. Has your mom comforted you in hard times? If so, you should honor her for that. Number six, has she taught you godly wisdom? Has she taught you godly wisdom? The bride in Song of Solomon 8:2, she thinks back to when she lived in the house of her mother, and she describes her mother as she who used to teach me. Did your mother teach you? In Scripture, we read of mothers teaching their sons and of them teaching their daughters. We're here in Proverbs 31. This whole chapter is what a mom taught her son. Look, Proverbs 31:1. At the beginning of the chapter, it says, the words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. What are you doing, my son? Where are you going, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows? Oh, the wisdom King Lemuel's mother taught him. If we just scan down through here, she teaches him in verse 3, don't waste your strength chasing after women. She teaches him in verse 4, don't be drunk with wine, it's going to cloud your judgment. She teaches him in verses 8 and 9, speak up for the weak, defend the rights of the poor and the needy, son. And then you come to the end of the chapter and she says, son, let me tell you what kind of wife you should look for. And so we have the beautiful end of the chapter, and it's what a mom told her son to look for. Son, well, you know what you need to find? Find a lady who loves the Lord, who fears the Lord. She deserves honor. Find a woman who's going to work for you and for your kids. And then she comes down to Proverbs 31:26, and she says, and if you find this kind of a woman, you know what she will do? She will teach your children the same thing. Proverbs 31, look at verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. In Scripture, we read of mothers teaching their sons. We also read of mothers teaching daughters. Now, Titus 2 is not specifically mothers to daughters. It's older women to younger women, but this is the kind of thing that happens in many homes, godly homes. Titus 2, verses 3 to 5. Older women are to teach what is good, and so train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. So, boys and girls, men and women, did your mother teach you godly wisdom? If so, you should honor her for that. Number 7, has she handed down to you her faith in God? Has your mother handed down to you her faith in God? Look here, this is 2 Timothy. It's Paul writing to Timothy about his mom, about Timothy's mother. 2 Timothy 1:5. I am reminded, Paul says, of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. It seems that Timothy's father was not a believer, but Timothy was not, by that, left without a godly example. Timothy's sincere faith lived first in his grandmother, and then his faith lived in his mother. And now, Timothy, growing up and seeing the way that Eunice lived and how her faith was real to her, he also has believed. And what more precious gift could Timothy's mother have given to him? He got to observe her genuine, sincere faith as he was growing up, and it prompted him to believe as well. And then, think about it. So, as you read the New Testament, everywhere that Paul goes with the gospel, Timothy goes too. And so, as the gospel spreads around the world, what do you have? You have Timothy telling the whole world about this God who he believes in and passing on the faith of his mother. It's a beautiful thing. Did your mother hand down to you her faith in the Lord? If so, you should honor her for that. So how's God want you to treat your mother? Now I know some of us don't have all those bonus reasons, right? But if you have a mother, God wants you to honor her. She brought you into existence. It pleases God if you honor her. But if she's done more than the basics, if she's also prepared delicious food for you and clothed you and given you a sense of home, been fiercely loyal to you, brought you comfort in the hard times, taught you godly wisdom, handed down to you her faith in God, then you are a blessed person to have a mom like that. Proverbs 31, verse 30 and 31. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Let's pray. God, this is all your design. And it's a beautiful design that you have given us for our family. Lord, we mess it up. We don't live it out perfectly. Only you are perfect, and you make us perfect eventually when we believe in you. I'm grateful for that. But, God, you give us good things in our families, and we're grateful for the moms you've given to us. We give you thanks for them, even now. And may it be, Lord, if our moms are still with us, may we not be those people who don't bless our moms, but may we be those who bless and show honor and to our moms like you call us to do for your glory and just so that they might be encouraged as they go about the tasks that you've given to them. We thank you, Lord, for your good design for us.